the fear comes from going from a very well-paid job to a job that at the start is, you know, a fraction of what I was on. So that is a fundamental scary thought. You know, I have a pot of money that I can live on, so that's fine, but it's only a finite period of time. And then I need to make it a really good success. But I just don't doubt that I'm going to do it. I know I will, because I have such a passion for it.
She's bold. She's sassy. She's a woman over 50 living a life she designed on purpose with purpose. And now here's your host of Women Over 50, a life redesign podcast, Shelley Dryman.
Hey friends, how is it going? This is Shelley, your host of this podcast. If you're a first time listener, thank you for coming on and giving me a try. If you're a long time listener, thank you so much for your support. Today, the episode is with Nikki French, who lives in the UK. And Nikki, this is her first time ever doing anything like this with a podcast or anything. And she's trying to build her business. And I thought she just did a great job. And so I hope that you will give her a round of applause as you listen to this. Nikki worked in the corporate world for many years, worked on big projects like the 2012 Olympics in London, until she had a bike accident, which triggered a lot of anxiety and some post-traumatic stress symptoms. And she went from that moved into what she really wants to do, and that's working with dogs. So it's just a really interesting conversation about making a huge life transformation after a big event in our lives, which is usually, you know, when that occurs, and how she had the courage to do that. So I hope you enjoy this episode with Nikki as much as I enjoyed talking to her.
So I turned 50 last year.
And congratulations. It's a great age to be.
So I'll be 51. So 51 in just over a week's time.
Yeah.
And my life has done a complete 180. I'd worked in residential property sales and marketing for 20 years of that 30 years. I've been in sales and marketing my whole life. I've worked for some big corporates. I'd worked on some big regeneration projects. I've worked on the London 2012 Olympics. I've worked on some stuff. And I've always said to people, I love my job. I absolutely love my job. And I said it with a passion, and I meant it. And, you know, I loved having a team of people, and it, you know, it did really light me up, but it was grueling. You know, it was, could be 60 hours plus a week, lots of commuting, long haul travel. I was getting pretty tired, but I still loved it. I used to do a lot of cycling in my spare time. I did a couple of charity bike rides. I did one in Beijing, and one through Central America. So I did
have fun.
It was a charity based thing that was just for women. So it was all relatively, I mean, I think I was probably 40 when I did my first one, and I was the youngster. there's a whole group of women that are not used to doing a lot of cycling would come together and do really grueling challenges. So I did a lot of cycling, but I wasn't, you know, a pro cyclist. I was just an amateur that did quite a bit. And I used to cycle to work sometimes, because it was really hard to fit in training along with a really long day.
Yeah.
So I live about an hour outside of London. It would take me an hour to travel in on the tube and the train. So some days I would cycle into work, and that was kind of my training done for that day. So that kind of worked. And it was, where are we now? 2020. So 5.5 years ago, I used to get up really early so I could shower and get ready when I got to work. And I got halfway to work, and a car took me out from behind.
Oh,
not particularly high speed, but, you know, when you're on a bike, you're very exposed. And I didn't see it coming. I was just a bit bloody, a bit bruised, nothing broken. The ambulance came and they checked me out. And at the time, it didn't seem that bad. I was a bit shaken, you know, I didn't lose consciousness, and I was due to go on holiday, I think a couple of days after that. So I was sort of off work anyway, because I was due to go on holiday, and I kind of thought I was okay. And then I remember the sort of the first I'm a really, really glass half full kind of person. You know, I can see good in everything.
Yeah.
And I've never been a sort of an anxious person. You know, I work hard, but I don't get particularly stressed, or so I thought. And I remember my husband at the time driving around the roads of Italy, and they were quite windy. And it was the twists and turns. And I suddenly had an anxiety attack, and I didn't even know what it was. I just had this, you know, this grip in my chest. And it was, that was kind of the start of things. And it just, it took a long time to develop. And I had some word muddling problems. I would just forget people's names, like the people that worked for me, people that I knew really well. Their names would just go from my mind.
Oh my gosh, that had to be really, talk about producing even more anxiety.
That's the thing. And I used to sit in board meetings and you know, it was a global company. So I remember this guy flew over from Singapore and I was presenting something or other. And I'm reading notes off a presentation. And I'm muddling up numbers and words that are even in front of him. I just remember feeling so embarrassed and so exposed. And I just lost my mojo. Is probably the, you know, mojo is maybe a, is that an English, does that translate
into American mojo? I just lost your mojo.
I just became scared of things that I wasn't scared of before. And I became emotional at work, and there was a few physical things to say. I had brain scans and stuff like that, and there was a little bit of a bruise. They think I had keyhole surgery on both my shoulders. Mm. So it was niggling stuff, but it sort of added up to me. I just crumbled really, really slowly and steadily over about 3 years. I just crumbled.
It sounds to me like you had some post traumatic stress as well. I was. Yeah. Rear-ended by a guy texting 5 years ago, and I couldn't drive or get in a car because I didn't see it coming either. So it's very anxiety producing just to be in those sort of things, and then to have all the other stuff going on and surgery and all that on top of it. I could see how you were crumbling. I totally get that. So with your accident.
So I got made redundant from the company that I'd been with, and this was probably 3 years after the accident.
And for those of us in the States, I watch a lot of British shows, so I know what redundant means. Could you explain that to my American audience, what being made redundant means?
I got given the chop. Yeah, but I wasn't given the chop because the job didn't exist anymore. That was the wrapping they put on it. But they lost confidence in me, you know, sales. Being a sales director is not forgiving in, you know, job to be in.
Yeah.
So in effect, I was kind of booted out. That was never talked about, but I knew that in my heart. And, you know, I don't blame them. I wasn't the person that I was before.
And this all stemmed from the accident, your bicycle.
Yeah. So I went back to work for a company that I used to work for, which is also a pretty grueling company, but I knew them well. And I went back to work for them 4 days a week. I thought 4 days a week, I thought I'll be able to do the job I love on a more manageable basis. And I did that for a year and a half, and it wasn't any different. I was still struggling. You know, I just got so emotional, you know, in the evenings. My boyfriend, but I went through a divorce as well. I think probably the accident helped.
Oh my gosh, you had a lot going on. Holy cow.
I thought, let's just clear it all out. Let's start from scratch. I had my boyfriend and I have been together. Gosh, I'm terrible at remembering my dates now. I think 4 years, 3 years. That's really bad. But so I would just come home and he would just be scooping up the pieces. You know, I'd kind of keep it together at work, and then I'd be in floods of tears in the evening. And I knew it was no way to live, but I had no idea. I had no idea what I was going to do. And it was this growing sense of panic of, I can't, you know, at 50 or coming up to 50, I can't do this for another 15 years. I can't afford to retire, but I can't do this. I just can't cope. I'm going to break if I carry on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just remember the, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? That went on for quite a while.
So you made a complete career change. Yeah. And before we talk exactly what that change is, how did you, you said you couldn't go on, but you didn't really know what you wanted to do and you had to figure that out. How did you figure out what you were going to move into next since you couldn't retire?
There's a lot of things that my memory's not great. My memory's still not great, but I remember this day so clearly. And it's my oldest friend, we shared a flat when we were at college together. I went to art college and she was my flatmate at the time. And I hadn't seen much of her over a period of time, but I was over at hers and I was having a Sunday lunch with her and another girlfriend of hers. And this friend, her friend was saying, I've been thinking about becoming a dog trainer. My friend had recently got a dog. And this friend was saying, I was thinking about doing a course and becoming a dog trainer. And I literally just went, drop my fork. I can do that. No one that knows me from my work has any idea why they didn't know I like dogs. I've been dog mad my whole life. I was lucky enough when I was very young that my parents had family friends that had a livestock farm up in the north of England, and summer holidays as a school kid would just be up there on a farm with sheepdogs everywhere and feral cats and cattle and all sorts of things. And my whole life, every dog I ever see, I want to be around. But I couldn't have a dog because I worked such long hours. So I've had four cats over the years to kind of, fill in that gap where I wanted dogs. But I just knew as soon as she said she was thinking about doing it, and I just thought, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm a very action-orientated kind of person. And I just knew straight away. That evening, I researched what courses I wanted to do online. I booked it, paid for it. 2 days later, I resigned. That was December the year before last. Worked my 3 months notice and set up my own business. Started off doing dog walking while I was doing the dog trainer course. And now I, as of March last year, so heading on for my first year in business, I'm now a full-time dog trainer and specialist dog walker.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that is so cool because, you were talking about being in sales and marketing and like you worked on the 2012 Olympics and all that stuff. And and now you're like, I train dogs. That's why I like to do. So what is a specialized dog walker? Is that?
There are dog walkers over here that will pick up, 4-6 dogs and just take them out. I tend to do the dogs that can't cope with that kind of environment.
Okay.
So sort of rescue shelter dogs, dogs that are particularly nervous or they might be reactive with other dogs. So they can't cope with, they need much more management. So they're the needy dogs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've seen dog walkers around here and they're like 6 or 7 dogs. I'm thinking, I don't know how you manage that, but good for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not sure that you can that effectively. Yeah. Okay. But I mean, if they're really well behaved and that can work, but it's not about the dog walking. For me, it's about the dog training.
Right. Well, yeah. I have a confession to make. I'm actually a cat person. So when you said you had four cats.
I'm both.
So you've gone from having this grueling sales and marketing job, which you really liked, and you had this incident in your life that really wreaked havoc on everything, it appears, and you made this complete career change. How scary was that? I mean, you say that you're very action oriented and that you knew immediately when your friend was talking, but that had to be produce a little bit of eek in you.
Yeah, massive. I think I'd had so much fear before I knew what I was going to do. It was probably more relief that I thought, I can do this. And, I've got all the sales and marketing knowledge. So I think that side of the business I'm pretty good at. Mm-hmm. I know I'm good at connecting and coaching, mentoring in my old job was a massive part of what I did. And I love that side of it. So I thought, I know I can connect with people over dogs. So I've never doubted it was the right thing to do. Not even for a second. Not once. The fear comes from going from a very well-paid job to a job that at the start is, a fraction of what I was on. So that is a fundamental yeah. scary thought. You know, I have a pot of money that I can live on, so that's fine. But it's only a finite period of time, and then I need to make it a really good success. But I just don't doubt that I'm going to do it. I know I will, because I have such a passion for it. And every day that I'm out with dogs, or, you know, I was training a new client last night and her 13-year-old daughter, and when they get it and they put things into action and their dog is doing what they want, all of a sudden they're just like, wow, it's so easy. And it is easy, but only when you know. So those little snippets mean that the doubt doesn't really exist. I think I was just so relieved to think I found it.
I think I'd
processed a lot of that fear.
Yeah. And I think you make some really good points, because first of all, you had these skills and these interests and you knew. So I think that a lot of women say, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go about doing it. I don't have a passion in my life, but I think we do. I think we know. If we just spend some time sitting down and thinking, for example, I love connecting people and I like doing interviews, you know, so for me, it was just like, oh, I'm going to do a podcast. So we know what to do, but then the problem lies in taking action. And a lot of that is caused by fear. So I think you bring up some really good points about, you know, knowing what you wanted to do and how to go about that. And then just doing it, because that's basically it, isn't it, Nikki? You just have to, do it.
Yeah. But I mean, it was really hidden. I could have gone down the route, and I sort of did a little bit of it, of, oh, I could do consultancy in sales and marketing, but I still found that really challenging. And it was there all along. I just had no idea. And it was just so deep seated, but it was only through, you know, the nearest and dearest knew how much I was struggling in my job at the time. It's not something that I was very vocal about with people I worked with, for obvious reasons. But outside of work, I would share how I was struggling, so that there was always conversations going on with myself and with other people of like, what am I going to do? So I was constantly asking myself the question. So, you know, subconsciously, my brain would have been going, you know, scanning to find something that I could do for the rest of my life, you know, however long that is. So.
I think that women, in particular, women our age, or over 50, because I'm going to hit the big 6-0 in 2.5 years. But you know, women in particular, our age, I had this huge incident in my life before I turned 50, and you had your bicycle accident. And I think women, at our age in particular, something happens, whether it's a divorce or kids leaving the house or we're made redundant or whatever. But there's something that just happens and we're just like, okay, I've got to move on. I've got to do something different. I just can't. So what advice would you give for women who are facing a moment like you faced, where you knew that something different was going to have to happen?
Belief, I think, is something that most of us really, really struggle with. And there is no doubt that sort of the imposter syndrome is pecking away at me, and has done, because, you know, there are people that have been great dog trainers locally for 15 years. I don't have 15 years of experience. So I just have to find something that I think is what makes me, and that people will buy me because I'm me. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I'm probably much closer in the journey to the people that I'm teaching. So I think I'm understand them better. I can relate to them better than somebody that's done it for so long. They've kind of forgotten how hard it is. You know, I've recently taken on a rescue dog myself, and I'm going through that journey. So I think just having to come back to, people are going to buy into me because I'm me. And that's all, you know, no one can be you. You know, it doesn't matter how many people do the same thing that you do. No one else can be you. And I think the other thing is getting the right kind of support, having the right kind of cheerleaders. And that's been part of this journey of sort of, you know, looking for things like this kind of podcast, because there's so much great resources online, you know, great groups of like-minded women that want to make changes and want to support each other. And I think in my corporate life, whether it was men or women, it was it was a much more competitive environment.
Yeah.
And I've managed to find, you know, a couple of groups online, a business coach as well, and sort of surrounding myself with messages from people that are cheerleaders. And it doesn't matter whether you're having a bad day or a good day, they will be. And that's how it's drummed into me now, of that people will buy me because I'm me. I wouldn't have said that 9 months ago. I wouldn't have even thought of that. I'd have just been going, I'm only, you know, I haven't been dog training very long. And you know, so belief, you know, you have to believe. But when you don't believe, if you've got support, you know, with you know, groups like yours of women who have been in similar situations, they will always be there to go, you've got this, you know, you can do it. Whatever it is that you need, whether it's a kick up the what's it, or the, you know, encouragement, or a shoulder to cry on, you know, you need support of people around you.
I love that, because I know that there are some women who don't have any support, or the wrong kind of support, and don't feel that they can get rid of, you know, if they've got a crappy unsupportive partner, that they necessarily can't, you know, get rid of that person at the moment or whatever. But, you know, finding, there's all different ways to find support, I think, from women, other women in particular. And that's one of the things I strive to do in the group, is keep out the negative Nellies and the whining and the bitching and all the pissy comments.
Yeah.
That serves no
purpose. Yeah. Because obviously that is online everywhere. Yeah.
So Nikki, before we head off, tell us a little bit about your business. And I have a lot of UK listeners. I'm really surprised at the number of women who joined me from Australia and Britain and UK. So what exactly is what you do? And for my listeners, I'm going to drop the links and all your information down in the show notes, so they'll be able to find you.
So I have an online training business, which is where I think the sort of the bigger part of the business will be. I do face-to-face clients as well, but I've set up a group called Pup Talk to share information, share training tips. It's kind of following my journey with my rescue.
Oh, cool.
My rescue dog, who's called Bodhi, but he's going through that very chaotic teenager phase. So kind of it's warts and all, it's real dog training, you know, it's real life. Not everything goes how you want it to, but that's kind of the point. So we've got a group on Facebook, and I'm just trying to share the knowledge that I have already, and also put people together so that they can, you know, have a shoulder to cry on when their dog's doing something that they really don't want them to do, chasing squirrels or whatever it is. So it's an online group, which is probably one of the most fun parts of the business.
I guess I hadn't thought about dog training online. So basically you can just teach any dog or any person anywhere.
Yeah. And a lot of it is also talking to people. So it can be ideas to, you know, basic things like, a lot of people don't realize how much calmness a dog needs in their life. So it's not something I need to show a training game for. I can talk people through. So I do Zoom video calls for people where, you know, wherever they are, so they don't need to be local to me. I can guide them through all sorts of things that will help them have a calmer, happier dog in their household.
Well, and you know, that's just fascinating. It brings up another point for women who are listening, who are thinking, you know, I want to do something different and I can't. First of all, they're going to buy you because you're you. They're gonna love your personality. But also, all this technology, I mean, like, basically the world's your oyster. I mean, seriously, you could. Yeah. I'm talking to you right now, you know, and you know, when I was growing up, there was rotary phones and we were on a party line. I mean, I never would have imagined this. So we can, like, pretty much, if we can dream it and we take action on it, we can do it and provide great services for everybody all across the world.
Yeah. And also, obviously, you can screen share, so I can take people through to the videos. You know, if I need to show them something that is a games-based thing, I can show them the videos and talk them through how they need to change it for their dog, because obviously every dog is different. So there's no formula to it.
That's so cool. Yeah. Well, hey, Nikki, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. This has been a very interesting conversation, and I learned some things that I didn't know before. Okay. Hey, thanks for listening. And thank you so much, Nikki. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. It's really nice to talk to you.
Thank you for joining Shelley today on Women Over 50, a Life Redesign podcast. Be sure to join the ever-growing community of like-minded women on Facebook. That's the Women Over 50, a life redesigned Facebook group. Join today.